All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Taxi Squad Podcast. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2024, and we are back with your Week 26 preview. So as Craig always says, let's start up those fares and get into it. Welcome to the pod, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. My name is Jay, and I'm here tonight with Alan, keeping the van cab warm in Craig and Maddie K's absence. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
So, you know what? Like, I totally goofed. I need to apologize to Jay Cottinger. I still thought he was in a slump, but as Twitter kindly reminded me last night, going into last night, he was 5-0-0 with like a 1 point something goals against. Like, he's been on a heater, shut out the Oilers last night. Must have heard me talking shit. So I'm sorry, Jake. Please don't shut out the Oilers again.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to say this too. It's the fantasy thing night to night in these championship weeks. Like, I thought I was rolling down home stretch, honestly, in some leagues going, yeah, that was a great Wednesday. Thursday night has looked torrentially the opposite. And yeah, it's looking like it's nail-biting playoff finals finish again. Hope everyone else, Alan and our listeners as well, oh my goodness, I hope your playoff finals are going way more serenely than mine, but it looks like it's going to be a nail-biter to the finish. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's exciting playoff, fantasy playoff hockey for you. And rolling into, obviously, the best time in the season as well, actual NHL playoff first-round hockey. As a Leafs fan, I'm fairly familiar with that. I think the playoffs are kind of canceled.
I was saying, that's all you're familiar with.
I'm pretty sure playoffs get canceled, beginning of May anyway, every single season anyway, so.
But yeah, we'll go ahead and we'll start where we always do, in the infirmary. Aaron Ekblad ruled out for tonight after leaving last night's game with an injury. Paul Maurice is confident that he'll be ready for game one of the playoffs. I think he was getting like power play 2 times, so, and I think after tonight, Florida only has one more game this week, so not much. And I think they have one of the weaker schedules for week 26. So I would say, if anything, you just opened up yourself a streamer spot. And the next is Sean Couturier. He is day to day with an upper body injury. He is not going to travel with the team, and he will miss at least the next 2 games. I think he was getting healthy scratched, fourth line treatment anyway. So I think Morgan Frost has been kind of the big beneficiary, line one lately.
Yeah, Tyson Forster, I think, is the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy. But yeah, like, I think even before this, Couturier had kind of like dropped off a cliff from the torts treatment. And then tonight, for all you 0G guys out there, Daniil Tarasov left tonight's game, the Columbus Blue Jackets, with an upper body injury. I think it sounded like a collision. Jet Greaves, now the guy to keep an eye on, as he may now be the Blue Jackets starter. And then storylines. Interesting. We were just talking about Declan Chisholm. Brock Faber back on Power Play 1 starting tonight. And definitely something to keep an eye on, as Minnesota has a back-to-back to end this week. I think we said one of those games against the Blackhawks. So
yeah,
that Sunday could be a sneaky ad that helps you there right at the end of this week.
Championship Sunday as well. Yeah, what a time. Hopefully he doesn't get another 27-minute free skate. My goodness.
Oh, God, I hope not. He's had a few points in his last few games. I think it was like 3 in his last 4 or something. Like, I forget off the top of my head. I just remember seeing he's had points lately.
And I think what Alan mentioned there about points recently is really key, where at the end of this week, many playoff fantasy playoff seasons are going to be gone, ended. Fantasy hockey playoffs are going to be gone after the end of this week anyway. So whatever happens for the rest of the season is kind of just, you know, you can sail into the sunset and care and just enjoy hockey for hockey's sake. But importantly, this confluence of playoff fantasy hockey as well as the end of the season for regular hockey means that you want teams that are playing for specific purposes. And those players would most likely be more incentivized than, let's say, any team that has clinched a playoff spot, looking to make sure that they are rested up, healthy, able to play in game one come April 18th, as or the opposite, right? Or any team where they've already, you know, they've sat their top guys, they don't want them to get injured, no one is chasing an Art Ross trophy or anything of the ilk. So when you think about those sorts of players and those sorts of teams, you end up with this nice little convergence, right? And it always converges around the playoffs and the playoff bubbles. And when we talk about playoff bubbles, well, I don't know what we mean. There are different teams in both conferences that fall into that category, but the East is far juicier, generally speaking. There are around five, you could argue even six teams. We'll stick with five teams, but there, I think like Buffalo might be like the one team we didn't talk about, right? Where like there might be a little bit too far down. But the West is pretty set, right? The West is pretty much two teams on that playoff bubble hunt. So in terms of, I guess, hockey relevance, just I guess a couple of teams we'll mention off the top. And Alan, I guess we can jump in on any of these that we kind of go like, I think this guy or this team is really, really worthwhile, so to speak. But like, think of Detroit, Philly, Washington, the New York Islanders, and Pittsburgh. And I think in the East over there.
Oh, yeah, especially Pittsburgh tonight, like winning that game against the Caps. I think puts them 1 point back from wild card. So they're absolutely a team that they could make a sneaky push.
Yeah, and who would have thought that Nedeljkovic would be the goalie backstopping that sort of push as well? Like,
the dude put on a clinic tonight. Like, absolutely.
And winning those four, I guess you're almost calling them four pointers, right? Like, these are the games where it's not just 2 points to your score, it's 2 points away from theirs. That's exactly the sort of bubble game needed in order for you to make the playoffs and make that push. I'm gonna say, like, off the top of my head, when I think Detroit, Philly, Washington Islanders, and Pittsburgh, I think Philly's probably the team that might have more streamable options available of interest.
Yeah, I mean, especially since that lineup can change on a whim.
Right, and I mean, even we mentioned in joking fashion, like Morgan Frost, Tyson Forster, like, remember, those guys are under 10% owned, right? So you are getting power play one guys that are able to, right, like, reasonably be fighting and pushing hard for a playoff spot with that incentive right in mind.
And even Zero G, it sounded like Torts liked Fedotov's play in his first game. So maybe he gets a little run since Ersson's probably ground into paste at this point.
Oh my goodness, yeah, Ersson, like, he's honestly stepped up admirably and maintained that team, but that's gonna be tough if you, geez, like, Fedotov is massive, isn't he? He's like
6'7".
Like, yeah, you can at least chuck him in front of goal and he'll block a couple of extra shots, like, just by being there, right? Weren't they saying his shoulders were still reaching the bar, like, when he was doing,
oh yeah, even when he was down in Butterfly? Yeah, dude. It reminds me of Ben Bishop, where every time, like, the color commentators got going, like, oh man, did you know he's 6'7"? So, yeah, thanks guys. I've heard that like every game this season.
And mind you, at the same time, the East is so topsy turvy that all those teams that we mentioned, like, they genuinely all stand a chance at making it, and not even of their own general amazing play, but maybe just the others' poor play. So we'll see what the final score is on those final wildcard teams, because they will have extra incentive that some of the other teams honestly just don't, right? Like, you can't manipulate, you can't manufacture pressure the same way a playoff push would for any of the other teams. For the West, it's far simpler. There's two teams, LA and St. Louis, and I think it's, like, Alan, you could weigh in as well, but I think,
dude, for LA, Victor Arvidsson, dude, Victor, if you don't already have him, he's 42% owned. He's shooting like 3 to 5 shots a game. I think he's got 3 points in his last two. Like, definitely worth a look. Maybe, I don't know about the rest of this week, but what's LA's schedule next week? 5 games across that 2 week period, 2 off nights. But I like that first half. They have 2 games against Anaheim. So that could be a juicy, juicy night, juicy stream there.
And the very last game of the season. God, I know we're beating the dead horse here, but they're facing the Blackhawks. Can you imagine?
Oof, yeah.
So one, they're the last two games of the season, they face the Wild, and then they have two nights of rest, and they face the Blackhawks on April 18th. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine if they need to win that game against the Blackhawks in order just to make it to the dance? That's going to be a 6-0 drubbing, Alan. If you know, like, that's going to be crazy with tons of goals.
Hopefully for the Kings' favor, it's 6-0 drubbing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I think we shouldn't stamp on the Blues too much either. Like, the Blues, I know they have confusing games. Like, what was that for? Like, they lost 4-0, got shut out by Blackwood against San Jose. Like, yeah. I don't know what that was. That was weird, but just think about St. Louis as well, right? Like, their team, we mentioned in the last pod about just how ownable a lot of those guys are and available those guys are, like, getting power play 1 and 2 time. You want power play, like, exposure, especially from a streamer, and especially if you're going in hoping for, you know, something to turn on and come trumps, like, if they can't score on the power play, god damn it, they're unlikely to score without a man advantage, right? So if they're going to score, hopefully it's on the power play, and hopefully those guys are available to be picked. So there's not that many Western Conference playoff bubble teams. There are, like, frick, I guess if anything, like, maybe the East is just way top heavier than anything in the West, right? Is that the big one? I'm, like, looking at the standings here, and I guess, yeah, like, the East is really top heavy, and then kind of a canyon between them and, like, the bottom feeders.
Right. Well, I feel like the West has been kind of more solidified. Well, except for Edmonton. Edmonton just kind of that meme where, like, the you see the guy, like, catching up in the rearview mirror. Like, that's suddenly what Edmonton was out of nowhere. It just turned out they needed a new coach.
Or have you seen those not the meme, but it's the one where they had this relay race, and the relay race had, like, generally speaking, relay races have the male runners run at the very end, except the Polish team did, like, you know, like, the, what do you call it, the 4D chess move, and they put their final runners as their female runner, and it was crazy just to see the male runners and the anchors just bolt past in the final leg. That's all those male runners are Edmonton runners, basically. They're all just zooming past teams en route to the playoff run. And it totally clicked in this way as well, right? Where in terms of hockey relevance, Edmonton must be, just as we preached early on in the season, all those 80% of teams are in playoff positions by 20% of the race. I guess Edmonton.
There we go. Yeah, Edmonton bucked the trend there. They're the exception.
Smashed the trend. Oh, absolutely. Anywho, we're excited for playoffs. We're excited that you, listener, are still listening in fantasy hockey playoffs, but I'll throw it off to Alan for some schedule analysis.
Yeah, hopefully you're not just listening because you like the sounds of our voices, but schedule. Now, of note, this week, week 26, the only way to get it is to play your season the whole way through. It is a double week that runs from the 8th to the 18th. Off nights are super important again, just like they were in week 24. Monday, that the 8th only has 2 games. Wednesday has 3 games, Friday has 5, and Sunday has 4 within that first week. So it's slim pickings on trying to get those extra nights in. But the best schedules, Vegas, hands down, 6 games, all of them on off nights. Edmonton also has 6 games, 5 of them are on off nights. Calgary, 6 games with 4 off nights. Arizona and Vancouver both have 5 games with 4 off nights. And then Seattle and Toronto have 6 games, 3 on off nights. Worst schedules, Buffalo, Columbus, Dallas, Florida, New Jersey, and the New York Rangers, and Philly all have 4 games with 1 off night. And then streamers, Vegas, baby. Check for whoever isn't bolted down or got dropped last week. The popular example is Ivan Barbashev, still getting line 1 power play 1 time, center left wing, 35% owned. And then Big Koozie, Andre Kuzmenko from Calgary, left wing, right wing, 38% owned. He has 6 points in his last 3 games and had a point so far tonight, last time I checked. And then Connor Garland on Vancouver, right wing, 29% owned. He is line two, power play one right now. He has 4 points in his last four games, including the game winner last night. Goalies, Calvin Pickard might be someone you hold through most of next week. Edmonton has two back-to-backs in that entire schedule with some easier games mixed in, so he could see as many as three starts. They have two games versus Arizona, one against San Jose. Alex Lyon, we mentioned Detroit as kind of one of those teams that's in the mix. Every point they can get matters. Alex Lyon, he seems to be back. 36% owned. Three of his last four games have been quality starts. And those save percentages are 969, nice, 947, and a 944 on Detroit. Like, now that Dylan Larkin's back, that team seems to be playing much better. And then just go check on Justin Wall, 48% owned. Toronto has a back-to-back to start the week, so get you off to a nice start there. And big boy bangers, Martin Pospisil, the popsicle man in Calgary, center right wing, 5%. He's a steady 4 to 5 hits a game with some point upside. He's got 3 points in his last two. I didn't check to see if he had anything tonight so far. Keegan Kolesar in Vegas, right wing, 3%. He is a classic for filling hits, plays only on off nights, so you should have no problem fitting him in. And then Braden McNabb on Vegas, 31% owned defenseman. He covers hits, blocks, and shots. So nice overall category filler for you. And then with that, I will hand it over to Jay.
Yeah, so I think in week 26, just to remember again, this is like an all-star week, right? It's 2 weeks total. I guess we'll roll through some strategies as we always do. So just some teams to target hold if you can from week 25 Sunday over into week 26, or even not even to week target hold, so to speak. But if you want to target grab, knowing that you can grab them for the week 25 Sunday and then also hold onwards into week 26 just to kind of use additional ads if possible. Keep in mind that Vegas has a terrible week 25 schedule and they make up for it by playing more games in week 26, both weeks of week 26. So they play on Friday. I know this episode is going to come out like, I know it's like early Friday morning. So if you are hearing this, realize that you, with a decent and sizable week 25 lead, if you pick up Vegas, they play on an off night on Friday. And then afterwards, all of week 26 games are off night games, right? So that's a pretty good slot and schedule. They play literally every other night just to round off the season. Vancouver is another possible option where they play on the week 25 Saturday. And then they have a week 26 Monday and Wednesday off night. Toronto also plays on the week 25 Saturday. And then they have a week 26 Monday, Tuesday back to back, right? So all these players and all these teams, these are like relatively unplayed week 25 schedules. Well, for Vegas, a very unplayed week 25 schedule, but they make up for it in week 26 by playing four games, and some of them even have like off nights and or back-to-back sprinkled in. So other teams that you can kind of target drop, so try to target a team like Columbus, right? So a reason Columbus would be targeted is like they only play three games anyway, and they're all on busy nights, and they're against freaking Tampa, Florida, and Nashville, right? So you have Florida, perennial, like, well, Stanley Cup finalist, Tampa.
The New England Patriots of the Atlantic Division.
Right, basically. and then Nashville, like, my goodness, you have this team after that V3 concert. Like, they are just so, so ready to, you know.
Right. I mean, they've lost a few, but right now they're beating St. Louis, which probably isn't much of a surprise. But yeah, they've slumped a little bit, but I still say they're not a team you really want to play right now.
Oh, absolutely not. And you don't want your fantasy, like if you're at this stage in the season playing meaningful fantasy hockey, you don't want your hopes to be resting on any Columbus Blue Jacket. Let's be frank and real and honest here. So, okay, let's delve a bit into those teams that we talked about in terms of winning our weeks, our week 26 early. First, for that Monday, Tuesday back-to-back, if you're going Toronto, you got a touchdown on Jake McCabe, right? So he's getting power play 2 access, but it's been a little dicey with who's been healthy and playing power play 1 as well. I mean, heck, like Connor Timmins at one point was getting power play one reps, right? So they're really digging deep into the well. And frankly, Riley is like, I don't know, again, if the Leafs are prioritizing winning games in like game 76, 78, as opposed to keeping guys healthy for weeks, you know, well, I guess whatever it is, like August, post April 18, right? So Jake McCabe's probably going to get way more minutes coming up. Riley, they'll probably give him a couple of, like, you know, games to skate out the rust if he needs to. But aside from that, like, Lilgren's been out for, I think, like, a week, basically, and, like, foreseeable future as well. Jake McCabe, you have to pick him up just for the power play two access. And honestly, a chance for power play one up, like, for the upping to power play one, not out of the cards as well. Speaking of power play one, Max Domi. 26% center left wing. He's playing now with Matthews on the first line and getting power play one access. Max Domi, what the heck? Like, his dad was an enforcer, right? Like, was this in the cards the whole time? Okay, but if it is, you want access to that at this late stage in the season. Four games from Toronto in the first half of week 26. Yes, I want access to that power play one. If somehow both, I guess, of those guys were taken, or Max Domi at 26% was already taken, Tyler Bertuzzi still gets you power play two access, and Bobby McMahon, I know, obviously, I'm hearing the news more often than not, but with McMahon, he's getting, what, power play two time, and at one point, he was scoring even without any power play time, right, and it was just hot, but that's the sort of access that Toronto, in terms of a Monday back-to-back, would grant you. I think of those players listed, I would target Max Domi. If I can't fit a Max Domi in, I would target a Jake McCabe. And if, like, you're really digging deep into the well, then I think a Bobby McMahon is a high risk, a high reward pick. But that's Toronto, right? You get your Monday, Tuesday back to backs. Vegas is the big one with the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday off night for the first week. And frick, I think we mentioned some of these guys as target drops for week 25, but then I guess you can pick them right back up because you just dropped them, listener. Grab your William Karlsson's, grab your Ivan Barbashev's. Alan mentioned Braden McNabb. Like, Chandler Stevenson's probably there somewhere, right? Grab him too. And then you're going really deep into the well, right? Like, Alec Martinez, like, Nicholas Waugh was getting power play two time at one point. Like,
and sneaky good. He's flown under the radar. Anthony Mantha. He's playing on the line with Karlsson. I don't even know if I'd call that their line three. It's Karlsson, Dorofeev, and Mantha. But Mantha's also getting power play two time. He has 7 points in his last six games.
Oh, jeez. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he's only 4% owned right wing. Again, they play on all off nights, so you'll have no trouble fitting him in.
Yeah, Vegas is really making up for possibly losing many, many fantasy managers listed, like, seasons with their week 25 schedule. But if your league does week 26, then yeah, I think you have some options.
Whoever's not bolted down, you pick them up.
You pick them up. Literally, yeah. Like, and we mentioned William Karlsson, like, he's over 50% owned, right? But you're banking on the fact that people would have dropped him because of the shitty week 25 schedule and just trying to see who you can reach, basically, in terms of the drops. Frick, I'm pretty sure even I saw Alex Petrangelo dropped in, like, some of the leagues. But, mind you, that league ended in week 25, so there was no week 26 to be relevant in afterwards. I always advise managers, too, to plan only for the semifinal or the quarterfinal, even. If you make the dance, like, there's no point in over-planning for, you know, a week that you're not even going to be a part of. But anyway, I digress. Vegas, Monday, Wednesday, Friday off nights. There's another back-to-back to be relevant for, the Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back, and there's Arizona. Arizona's got so many players too, right? Like, against Sean Durzi, right? He's right there on the cusp, probably unavailable, but at 56%, just go check. Quarterback's the first power play. And then you have all those guys that are under 30% owned. Nick Schmaltz, Lawson Crouse. These guys are, like, Lawson Crouse is absolute peripherals banger, as well as getting power play two access and still scoring. And then the guys under 15% owned, right? Like the Logan Cooleys, the Nick Bukestads, the Dylan Gunthers. Like, these guys all get power play two or power play one access, and they're quite, like, I watched a little bit of that game against the Canucks last night, and when the puck is flowing, clicking on the power play, like, they Sounds hilarious, but yes, the Arizona Coyotes are still an NHL level team. They get power plays? Yeah. Oh, man. And who do they converted on man advantages? What the heck? But also, I didn't mention as well, because I didn't even check their ownerships, but both Connor Ingram and Karel Vejmelka are under 50% owned now. They are both streamable options, and with a back-to-back, you can stream both of them, right? Like, I wouldn't actually
advise you. And the lowest owned of them all, you forgot again, Josh Doan, 4%. He didn't get anything in that game against Vancouver, but still, to say he has 5 points in four games isn't bad for anyone you would consider picking up as a stream.
Just an absolutely mutt. Yeah. And Alan, I'm guilty too. I didn't even find out if he was related to Shane Doan.
Me either. I still haven't, but he is absolutely related to him.
In some way, shape, or form. He's certainly scoring like it. My goodness. Yeah, but.
Hold on. We're going to find out right now.
Right now. Is he actually related? And here's the thing with Arizona as well, right? Like, that's the sort of team where you're going to find a lot of waiver gems.
Okay.
You're...
Josh is Shane Doan's son.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like father, like son. Clearly, literally playing in the desert and clearly able to pot a good goal at a period of time. Man, is Josh Doan going to end up eventually wearing the C? Who knows? Who knows how far this father-son cosplay goes?
Freaking nepotism, man. If only it translated to goals.
Now, there's other setups in addition to the Tuesday and Wednesday back-to-back. There's also the Wednesday-Friday off nights. The two teams we'll mention there, Edmonton, and again, it's the two players, right? Adam Henrique's, the Corey Perry, right? So Adam Henrique, Corey Perry. Adam Henrique, you're really hoping that power play two clicks. And then Corey Perry, I really only think you get Corey Perry if you can't get Adam Henrique, right? Like, Corey Perry kind of... I mean, unless you count penalty minutes, because maybe Corey Perry actually would be very valuable in that league setup as well. But aside from that,
Corey Perry's a saint. I don't know why he would have penalty minutes. I don't know what you're talking about.
Indeed. Oh, man. He truly, truly was a misunderstood Lady Bing specialist. You know, that's really Corey Perry's mantra and motto. Calvin Pickard, right? Alan mentioned he's, what, 19% owned, so obviously available, obviously set up with good week 26 opportunities and back-to-backs as well, and against some pretty bottom-feeder teams. Don't forget about Calvin Pickard. And then St. Louis, right? We're still talking about all those players. They have a Wednesday-Friday off-night schedule in week 26. Again, I think the highest value you can get is Colton Parayko. He's the D1 with the chance. He's not currently, I think, listed for any power play minutes, but who knows what the switch is. Braden Schenn, Captain Schenn, still a 31% gets power play two. And Jake Neighbors and Torrey Krug, right? Like, both of those guys, I would say, are the... Jake Neighbors and Torrey Krug both have the dubious reputation, possibly well-founded, for going on free skates every now and then. I mean, ice time is expensive, so I do understand. But at the same time, they have immense upside. So, you know, Jake, if he scores on the night, frick, you know, all the bets paid off, right? But yeah, sometimes, like, Jake doesn't do too much peripherally, and Torrey Krug's kind of guilty of that as well. But aside from that, St. Louis, that's a pretty exciting little setup there, right? With the Wednesday, Friday off nights in week 26.
Yeah, and like we said, every off night freaking matters in this matchup, at least for especially this first half here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, like, with listeners, I'm just wishing you guys, like, good luck, right? Like, if you're playing in week 26, you made it all the way to the dance, all the way to the season. It's going to be tough to see all these different players and teams. There are also, point of order and point to note, there are going to be players that we miss, and there are going to be players that we didn't mention. So the important part is also not just to take the players that we mentioned, but also to go back to the teams with this schedule. Because the important part with the schedule is that I'm going to pick on a team. I'm just going to scroll through, Alan, and pick on a team here. Let's say we have Seattle, right? Seattle is, like one of the players, Shane Wright. He's a centerman. they just called him up because he's, I guess, getting some games up from, I think, like the Coachella somethings. I don't remember what they are.
Oh, Firebirds.
Firebirds. But so Shane Wright would be a classic player where you look at Seattle in the coming week 26 first half, or I guess the first week of the week 26 game week. Seattle plays four games. Mind you, they only play on the off night that Sunday, but they still play four games, and it depends who you can fit or can't fit. You get a player like Shane Wright, where he was doing very little at the beginning of the season. They dropped him back down, and then they called him back up. Like, I don't know if he's going to stay out for the rest of the ELC, like to burn up a valuable ELC year, but he's exactly the type of player where you're looking for that kind of run. You're looking for a player that's lowly owned, that is not gonna, like, he's taking up probably what Wenberg's spot, right, that was vacated to the Rangers. He's gonna play the minutes specifically that they don't want to burn out any other player, because they want a younger player to get the minutes of experience. And frick, if he ends up playing well against, who are the teams they're placing? They're playing against Arizona and San Jose. These are the kinds of games or players that can perform at a high level, score a couple of goals that will make or break your particular week, and then further, you didn't have to do anything to actually get them. You know, like, all you had to do was follow a little bit of hockey and be like, oh, he's currently playing on the second line or centering a third line, you know, with opportunity. That's one that I came up right off the top of my head. But listener, like, there are so many opportunities all across the board here, right? Like, even Chicago, like, I don't even know half the players on Chicago. Just look up the players that are going to be playing on Connor Bedard's wing, and they all play on off nights. They play the Blues, they play Nashville and Carolina. Like, not great teams, like, in terms of schedule, but do you think they can pot a goal or two? And if they are going to pot a goal or two, is it going to be Bedard's line? Probably. So just look for a couple of these other teams in the schedule. Look for the teams that can kind of fit into your lineup. And look, again, specifically for names that aren't just showing up because we mentioned them. You should look for names that are specifically there that are, you know, just fun, exciting young guys. And hopefully they do something good for you.
Well, listeners, that's going to wrap it for tonight's show. We are going to park the van cab for the night. As always, we ask all of you still listening to like, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also follow us on Twitter and YouTube. All that info is in the show notes. And if you haven't already, come join us on the 5-Hole Discord and tell us about your journey to Valhalla this season or humiliating defeat. Good luck and good hockey this week. Thank you for listening.
We'll pick you up later.